Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you have missed any of my shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Well, today we're going to talk to writer, director, and producer Heath McKnight, who has done over 125 short and feature films that he's produced, as well as directing over 10 short and feature films. And we're going to get a chance to talk to him a little bit about some technology that he's very familiar with today. Let me see if he's on the line here. Keith, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay, good. Well, I'm going to dive right in. I know you just finished your film, Hellevator, and it took quite a while to do that. And
yes,
it's it's almost all green screen. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about the challenges of working with green screen and the technology that you used and that type of thing.
Oh, absolutely. You know, most of the software that we used, actually all the software we used, was pretty much modern, cutting edge. But the movie was shot on a camera that, you know, at the time was very state of the art. It was a Panasonic T2 camera, the HPX 500. It was the shoulder mount, big sensors and everything. Since then, the technology has gotten a lot better. And the reason why I mention that is because it's at the time, the compression was so heavy, the video compression, that it made green screening a little tricky compared to nowadays, where the technology is a lot better and it's easier to do, you know, the visual effects of keying in backgrounds and everything. But, it took a long time. I mean, in that time, I had gone through a lot of personal and professional changes. We shot it in September of 2007. And the script was written by David Michelini, and he's a comic book legend. He and Bob Layton probably created the two greatest runs on Iron Man. He created Venom. 100% by himself, created Venom for Amazing Spider-Man, the comic book. He wrote Superman. They have a feature film that they're working on called Shambler. It's almost like a mummy, a modern take on the mummy and, you know, undead coming back and everything. It's pretty cool. And I've known David for many, many years, since I was a teenager, and I was writing him letters and then email. And I met him at some comic conventions, and I had asked him, you know, do you want to write a short film? And he did, and we did the movie, and it took a long time and several visual effects artists. And I don't really want to go too much into that, but basically long time collaborator, Jeremiah Hall, updated his system last summer. Since I have such a huge background in technical writing, even when I was a full-time filmmaker and a full-time teacher at the Palm Beach Film School, I have a good relationship with Apple and Adobe, so I was able to get some Adobe software from them in exchange for some reviews and how-tos that Jeremiah was writing. And, he did the visual effects. It took about 4 or 5 months working at part-time. And it was something else when he sent that last clip to me via Dropbox. That's how he would deliver the clips. And to get it, it was kind of like, wow, you know, it took a while, and I was beyond pleased. And of course, you know, the music by another very longtime collaborator, Grant Balfour, he had done a pretty great score. And then we had to do 100% of the audio, you know, the sound effects, the Foley. And that took a little bit of time, too. And I remember Grant came over to my home and brought his laptop, and I had my Mac booted up, and he's literally working on sound effects and then put them in Dropbox, and I'm just downloading them and I'm putting them into Final Cut Pro 10, which is my nonlinear editor of choice, and just putting the pieces together. And I guess it was like mid-June we wrapped, and I haven't really done much with it because I have a lot of plans, film festivals, but you know, some of the local film festivals won't be on again until, you know, the spring and the fall. And some of the other film festivals that I'm really looking at are more in the fall. But I'd love to have some sort of, you know, some sort of like a screening at one of the local theaters. It's just it's a 5-minute movie with credits. So I'd want to maybe do like a double feature with like 904 AM I mean, that movie's been out for 5 years, but maybe get some other, you know, filmmaker friends and see if they could do, put some shorts together and do something cool. So that way everybody can see it. Cause I don't want to just throw it up on the web. I have a clip and everything, but I don't want to just throw it up on the web yet. I want to build some buzz at the film festivals and everything. So that's Hellevator. It's a lot of fun. The lead actor, Greg Napo, he had been in a couple of films that I had worked on, either as a producer or he had a small role in 904. Yeah, and he just did such a great job. You know, he lives in Orlando and he came down and he just owned that role in the movie, really. It's a monologue, basically. The guy talking to himself, and I think any other actor that I've worked with probably could have done a good job, but he just did it. And the wrong actor could have turned it into this cheese fest of, why is this guy talking to himself? But he sold it. He really worked hard on it. And we even went through the lines, and I gave him some direction beforehand. And then when he came down and we shot it 5 years ago, I just gave him, like, we just did some quick rehearsals. And that was it. And then we were able to shoot the whole movie in order in front of a green screen. You know, I grabbed a lot of the people that I've worked with for years, you know, Patrick Speicher, Chris Alonzo, Kathy Ward, Matt Miller, my buddy Grant Balfour, Elizabeth Bashiel. Just, I pulled a bunch of people together. I said, this is a one-day shoot. Are you guys in? And they said, yeah. I grabbed some of the cast from 904 AM, and I said, you know, small roles, are you guys doing? And they said, yeah. And it's just, the first movie that I, even though it was done 5 years ago, it's the first film that I've had that I've directed completed in 5 years since 904 AM, because I was working as a producer. And then, you know, on December, and I know you wanted to talk about that. And, you know, just like anybody in 2008, after December wrapped, and I did the first, like, real cut of the movie, but the economy just really, you know, the housing market couldn't sustain the prices, and just a lot of things just kind of collapsed. And I went back into video production after basically, I want to say, 6 years of strictly film and film education. And,
well,
you know, go ahead.
Okay. I want to make sure we get a lot of points in here, because the time is going really fast.
Yeah.
So I wanted to kind of skip over, because I know you do a lot in technology, and you mentioned Apple and Adobe.
Yeah.
And I know there's some exciting products that have come out recently, like the Creative Cloud technology. And, you know, maybe we can touch on that real quick. And then
I
want to make sure we get to Dottle. So first, why don't you tell them about Creative Cloud first?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, a lot of things are going to the cloud. I before I started working for Dottle and after, I was doing work production as a one-man band, writer, shooter, editor, you know, you name it, I had to do it. I was doing a lot of writing for a company called Top 10 Reviews, More Consumer. And I could just see, you know, they said, can you do a review of paid cloud services? And at the time, there were, like, none. But I saw where it was going, and I had an opportunity to talk to people that worked on MobileMe and now iCloud, you know, a lot of things that I think a lot of us wanted are in iCloud. And that's on the consumer end. So it's really cool that Adobe and even Avid and a lot of these companies are moving to the cloud. Now, you know, I always figured this would happen, but you're still talking about, you know, how am I going to be able to upload and download gigabytes of video? So I think, like, it's in place, but the technology needs to get better as far as, like, internet connections and everything. But what's really cool about the Creative Cloud is that it's an opportunity for you to sync your creative files with Adobe, like Premiere and Photoshop especially, and it also gives you an opportunity to save a lot of money and use these apps and not pay. I believe the full version, if you're just buying it for the first time, of the full like Creative Suite CS6 from Adobe is like $2,000-$3,000. So for $50 a month, if you sign a one-year deal with them, you're getting this software for a tremendous low price, you know, like $500-$600 a year. And that's terrific. And it's great that I could work on it on my computer. My collaborators can work on stuff without having to, hey, can you drop that file into an email? Can you drop it onto Dropbox or whatever? And it's really great to be able to sync it and just, here, let me open up the file. Oh, okay, here it is. And that's wonderful. And I know Avid is moving towards something where in the future, instead of having a ton of editors fly in from all over the world to, let's say, wherever the next Olympics is, they can stay home and then they have this cloud connection. Hopefully the internet, the broadband will be pretty good and they'll be able to download, edit, and they can save a ton of money without having to put people up in hotels, travel, feed them and all that stuff. You just say, okay, you're working from home, you know, and I've spent the last 2.5 years working from home thanks to cloud technology, but on a much smaller scale. So that's really where a lot of this stuff is going. I mean, you know, like I said, with, you know, iCloud and iTunes Match, you got your music everywhere. With Amazon Cloud, it's the same thing. So I like where everything is going, although when Amazon had a massive power outage in the Washington, D.C. area the other night, it took down a lot of stuff in the cloud, like Instagram, Pinterest, and could you imagine Friday night you're watching a movie on Netflix streaming and it goes down for a couple hours because of the fact that, you know, you'd think there would be redundancies, but I think there is, but sometimes it's just Mother Nature, you know. So it's, we're still kind of getting there. I mean, I even predicted years ago that we would go to movies over the internet. I went to Consumer Electronics 2008, January 08. I talked to the Vudu guys. Vudu's now just, it's no longer just a box. It's like built into Blu-ray, DVD, apps and everything, and I believe Walmart owns them. And when I said that, people looked at me like my head was on fire. Oh, internet connection. And I said, it'll get better. And now, you know, it's so much easier just to not have DVDs and Blu-rays. It's just easier to just sit down and watch movies on the internet and not have like a whole ton of stuff. So that's pretty cool, you know. So I think that's where we're going with cloud technology.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about Dottl, because a lot of people probably don't know about this. You basically, my understanding is it's an interactive way to produce call sheets. Tell me a little bit about that app.
Sure. That's just one of the cool things about it. You know, I kind of just, you know, it really worked out. I was able to get a job on the news side. They have their own news page, and they know that the last 2 years I haven't been doing as much film. I did that more part-time, and I did more writing because, to be honest with you, I was just kind of burnt out doing the one-man band thing because that's the economy has dictated that, and a lot of filmmakers, you know, they can work on a big project, but it's no longer three or four people working on that. Paid, you know, commercial or something like that, you're one-man banding it. And so I love that I'm the web content manager for, you know, this news page, and we have a focus on technology, entertainment, you know, I'm bringing people in to talk about how to use Photoshop and After Effects and everything. But that's just the news side. That's just part of it. And the main thing is our app and also our interactive production guide, too. Basically, it all started when my boss, Jim Robertson, who is a pretty successful producer of high-end industrial commercials and everything, he was sitting and he was not where he normally is. I forget the city, but he wasn't in South Florida. And he's sitting there with like four or five production guides, you know, the books that you get in counties or cities around the country and world. And he's literally like, there's got to be something easier for that. And you remember the old thing for iPhone, there's an app for that. And there wasn't.
Right.
So what they did was they put together this app, and I can go on, let's say I'm flown out to Atlanta, and they say, and it's a client who has no video production, but they love my work, and they say, we need you to produce it. Okay, I can't, the budget's not there to fly any of my crew over. I need to find camera rentals. I need to find lights. I need to find a studio to shoot in. I need to find crew. I can go onto the app, or I can go on to doddleme.com, doddleme.com, or download the app for Android or iPhone and iPad. And I can go in there, and it will see where I'm at, check my location, just like if I'm going on, you know, Yelp.com or the Yelp app, and it'll see where I'm at, and then it will start listing, and I can say, okay, within 30 miles, 50 miles, and I can start finding things, and I can start calling. And then what's really cool is that I can sit there and then put together, you know, the interactive call sheet. And, I mean, let me tell you something. This is why I hire, you know, an assistant director. One of the biggest reasons is they're very organized and they can put together the call sheet. So you're no longer sitting there with expensive $1,000, $500 software. You're no longer using a spreadsheet and emailing it out and then texting people, hey, check your email, the call sheet's in. You're
right. Doing
it all on your phone, and it can pull the people from your address book, and you can say, okay, you know, your contacts, okay, this person, they need to show up early because their makeup and the actors, maybe they could show up a little bit later, or maybe the crew needs to get in there, and it's just really cool, and you can just do so much to it. And, I mean, I can't do it justice without, you know, just saying, check it out, doddleme.com. I mean, it's just, it's everything that as a producer that I've wanted. You know, even a one-man band, it helps you out. It's just, there was no app for it, and now there is. And that's just what makes it so great.
Okay.
That's why
I love it.
And again, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm trying to get all this stuff in.
Yes, sir.
Also, you run the Voices of Local Film contest, and I kind of skipped over
Absolutely.
To something else real quick. But I want to make sure that people know how they contact you and when you are taking submissions for that.
Oh, sure. Okay, yeah. So about a decade ago, I started the Palm Beach Film Society, and Randy Emmerman at the Palm Beach International Film Festival, you know, suggested, why don't we do a local film event during the film festival? And at the time, we were the only ones that I know of that it wasn't just like, okay, we're going to take some local films, but no, this is specifically, you know, I'm not going to sit there and submit to a bunch of local film festivals and maybe I get in. This is, look, it's so tough to get into film festivals, even ones that are major or minor locally, because everybody's sending in movies from all over the world. So the Voices of Local Film allows filmmakers in the Treasure Coast, Palm Beach County, Broward County, and Miami-Dade County to submit their shorts. We've done like one or two features in the past, documentaries, even music videos, animation by local producers, local filmmakers, you know. And it's so great. And we've had our 10th annual event this past April. And it's just so much fun to sit back and watch, you know, to watch these filmmakers watch their movies on a big screen in a movie theater with a great audience. And it's just that's really why I did it, because I've had screenings on movie theaters and the thrill I got, I wanted to share that. Plus, like I said, it's so difficult to get your movie into any film festival. If there's one dedicated to you locally, why not? And the best way to find us is online at pbfilmsociety.org. And we'll, you know, it's summer. We're not really getting there yet as far as the voices. December, January is usually when we start taking submissions.
Okay.
You know, stay and go online around the fall and see, you know, we'll have some information up. But this year we started, it took us a decade, we started doing educational events, and we co-hosted an event. A guy by the name of Jeff Fortune came down from Orlando and talked about Final Cut 10, which a lot of people, there's a controversy with it, you know, oh, Apple turned their backs on professionals. I've been using it for almost a year now, and I love it. And it was a great way for people to come in and see really what the app was all about, and we're hoping to continue doing those kind of events. Yeah, you know, like bring in people with cameras educational events, you know, just to get people involved. And I'm trying to team up with a lot more local filmmakers. And, you know, we added to the board. I brought on Don Dubriel, who is just a major filmmaker and producer in South Florida. I brought on Talina Adamo Blonder, who, you know, the Palm Beach County filmmakers. And I brought on somebody who's been on my board for years, and she came back, Elizabeth DeShiel, who just, her passion for local arts and local film and just the things that she does is just so wonderful. So I feel like I surrounded myself with a great board on the Palm Beach Film Society, and we're looking forward to doing more educational events and film events.
Perfect. Is there any other website that you want to give before we close? Anything else that about you that you want to throw out there real quick?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is the first film that I've done in a while. The last film I did was a feature film called December for a retired doctor named Dr. Gary Dresden. He hired me in 2007 to help produce the movie, and it was the biggest film I'd ever done. We did it in St. Pete, Clearwater, and Tampa about 4 years ago, spring of 2008, and it debuted in spring of 2010. It's on DVD now. You can find that at decembermovie.com. It's about a father and son who are basically fighting. The son wanted to be an actor, and the father wanted him to help take over the business because his other son is a businessman. So it's really good. It's all about what's more important, family or career, you know, what's the most important. 904am.com is a feature I did a while ago. I blog on heathmcknight.com occasionally. Mostly what I do there is I talk about Final Cut Pro 10 because I do have great connections with all the companies, you know, Apple, Adobe, all these companies, Canon, Sony. So I try to talk about that stuff. And that's, you know, I stay very busy.
Great.
So that's
and people can find out more about you on IMDb also, I noticed. And I may have to bring you back on when we get some new technology comes out. Maybe I'll bring you back and we can talk about more technology or some more films, whatever you do next.
Yeah, absolutely. I do have a feature I'm working on called Ambush. It's off and on working on just because life gets in the way. But after Hellevator, we finished that. I wanted to get back into it. It's a straight-up feature-length action superhero movie. And I am a big comic book fan, probably longer than I've been a film fan, going back to when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to that. And I talk about that too on heathmcknight.com.
Great. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Heath. And I, like I said, I'll probably bring you
My
back
pleasure.
On at a later time. Thanks, Heath.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, that was Heath McKnight. And we went pretty quickly through a lot of technology. He has a wealth of information about technology. That's why I wanted to bring him on, because it's a little bit different than some of the other people that I've interviewed here on the show. And like he said, he has a blog on it. And if you Google him, he comes up all over the place. Like I said, he's been involved in a lot of film productions locally. He's taught some film aspects. He's taught about technology, and he goes to all these different conferences. But if you missed any part of the show, you can go back and listen to it in its entirety. It will be in the archives along with all of the other shows that I've done that you can listen to. And, of course, I'm here every Sunday at 1 p.m., so you can come check in and listen to who I'll be interviewing next. And I also want you to go down to Florida SuperCon if you're listening to this live. The Florida SuperCon is going on today and also tomorrow, Monday. And we have a booth down there, one of the films that I'm in, the TV pilot web series. Actually, it's a web series called Absolution. It is a sci-fi web series, and it's a brand new cast of characters, and I play Crazy Mary in the show, and there's a lot of battles involved, and alien spacecraft crash lands on Earth, and a prisoner escapes, and battles ensue, and they're looking for extras. Also, if you go to their website for Absolution, the Absolution show, you can find out more, but go down to Florida SuperCon, and you can see their booth that they have down there, and you can find out more about the project. We are going to be releasing it on YouTube in the fall, so you want to keep an eye out for that. And I'm looking up, I'm trying to find the actual website for you, for AppSolutions, but I can give it to you. I believe it's AppSolutionsShow.com that you can check out. But I just lost it. Yeah, it's AppSolutionsShow.com. Sorry about that. But go down to Florida SuperCon. If you Google that, you can see the address. Be aware that the traffic is unbelievable, and you will have to park very far away, so wear comfortable shoes. But there's more people at the Florida SuperCon than I've ever seen in my life, and I've been going there for years. So it's a lot of action down there, some celebrities, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of fun. In addition, like I said, all my archives are here on this show, but I also have another show called Basics of the Biz here on Blog Talk Radio, where I give some tidbits about the acting industry for people that are brand new to acting. And I want you to check out my website, www.independentstreak.com, and that's where I list a lot of events, filming that's going on. You can see pictures of some films. I've got reviews, interviews, you name it is on there, and it's constantly updated, so keep an eye out for that as well. And like I said, I will be back next week, guys, with someone brand new to interview next Sunday at 1 o'clock, same bat channel, same bat time, and I will talk to you then. Thanks so much. And one last thing, go on Facebook and find my website on Facebook, Indie Streak, and like it, please, because I'm trying to get as many likes as possible. I have castings up there. I've got all kinds of fun stuff that's exclusive for my Facebook audience. So Facebook, Indie Streak, I-N-D-I-E-S-T-R-E-A-K. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.